It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
And a very good morning. It is the second Monday of the month, and as he promised us last time, it was the second Monday. Joel Gratz is back with Christensen and Associates. And Joel, you've brought a cohort of the office with you today.
I did. I have Teresa Carlson, a manager with the firm for many years. How many years, Teresa, now?
11.
Time flies, you're having fun. She's an expert in many fields, but happens to kind of be our payroll expert, I would say, in our office, and manages those folks. And there's a lot of new topics flying in the air right now on that, and some pretty interesting things for our small business people like to talk about today.
And one of them is the new labor overtime rules, which I think I've heard rumblings are going to be overturned as soon as Trump gets in. But in the meantime, he's not in yet.
No, and you know, that's what, you know, last time I was here, we talked about the Affordable Care Act and what's going to happen and how the health insurance is and all that stuff's going on. And regulation is so crazy right now. And again, a small business guy myself, this is just another thing that President Obama did through an executive order. And that goes back to the question, what is law? How long can it be law? Back to, I believe, a president-elect Trump could overturn a previous, you know, president's executive order. I think that's how it works, and which Teresa will probably point out. That's what makes this whole thing very confusing. And I don't know if we want to start with where it was going by December 1st. That was kind of the magic date, right, Teresa?
Correct. December 1st was the first date or when this was supposed to be implemented. Mm-hmm. With non-exempt employees, there were three things that you had to qualify for. One was being paid a salary. One was being qualifying for certain duties, and then one was getting paid a certain amount. And what this executive order did, it increased that amount to $47,476, basically doubled it.
Big jump.
And so that's what a lot of small businesses were very concerned about, because that's very difficult that all these non-exempt employees who are now no longer non-exempt.
And when you say non-exempt, what does that mean?
That they are exempt from overtime.
Mm-hmm. That's so, the whole play is on the overtime thing. I mean, interrupt you,
nope,
Teresa.
You're good.
Okay.
And so now all these employees were set to go to being exempt or non-exempt employees, which means that they have to be paid overtime for any hours over 40. And the difficult part is a lot of people think, I'm a small business, I don't qualify underneath this rule. And what everyone pretty much qualifies because of interstate commerce. The rules and different case laws come down that if you process a credit card, if you pay with a credit card, if you even record the credit card transaction in the accounting system, you are handling interstate commerce. And pretty much everybody uses credit cards or makes online orders, so everyone's pretty much applicable to this new rule that was set to go out December 1st.
And that's how they get you.
So really, it didn't matter how small your business was. I mean, it's going to be affected then.
Correct.
So now, is it in effect? You said it was scheduled to go into effect. Did it go into effect?
It did not go into effect. On November 22nd, a federal judge put in a temporary injunction on this to give the court some time to determine the validity. Going back to what Joel said, could an executive order make this change? So just to basically check the validity and see if it's even legal at this point. So it is on hold. It's temporary to give the court some time to figure it out and determine where to proceed from
here. So is it in a federal court then is where this is being decided right now? Or?
It's in a federal court, and this judge, federal judge, not in our district, but this is what I thought was really unique, is one federal judge, no matter what district they reside in, can stop the whole process. So the train came to a screeching halt. And right before December 1st, and all the employers who were being impacted made their changes, either, change how they pay their people, gave people raises, or they started figuring in overtime after December 1, came to a screeching halt. And our clients were like, okay, what do we do now? And I think that's, one interesting thing, executive order, is it law or not? And all of a sudden we have a federal judge, temporarily stopping a potentially not legal thing anyway. So this whole thing from a legal perspective is really unique and interesting. But it's in fact true that one federal judge can stop the train. And now the question is, what is next. If I'm an employer who had a situation where I needed to change, do I need to change? Should I change? What's the next step? And I think Teresa's got a good plan as to how what we recommend and what we should do next.
All right.
Yeah, our philosophy is if you've already made those changes with your employees, it's really hard to go back on those salary increases or those changes. So at this point, we're saying status quo. If you made the changes, keep moving forward. If you've even had conversations but maybe didn't make the change, there's a little bit more gray there, but it's still you've already had those conversations and those employees are probably banking on that pay increase or the overtime. And then if you haven't made any changes, if you were waiting out to see if it got delayed or this injunction came through, then we were saying just status quo. You don't need to make the changes. You don't need to change them and make them, if you want to stay hourly employees and pay them overtime, it's basically continue as normal.
Yeah, it can create an uncomfortable situation, I'm guessing, if somebody that suddenly had a raise and then, must have thought they were worth it or you wouldn't do it. And then, they have to kind of take it back. That'd be pretty comfortable.
So regulation is dictating how we run our business. And again, I'm not trying to get in my political pedestal here, but it's such a shame that that's what's happening. It's creating, interstate commerce. Well, everybody does that. Okay, so everybody's in this pool. I'm not exempt. I've got these employees that I've been paying salary for, and they're happy with the salary, but now a government official says he creates this line in the sand, $44,000-some-odd. Well, now you cannot pay that person if you're at $42,000. They can't be salary.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to take that rate and try to figure out overtime, which means you're backing into an hourly rate. So the employee back to making you everything kind of uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
Am I not worth it? Why is my hourly rate going down? What if I don't work the overtime? Now I'm going to have less pay.
Yeah.
Why can't I just be salary? I like it. That's whatever. And we have to say, as a CPA to this employer, that's because the rules are telling you have to do that. So it's a weird transition. So now you factored in the fact you had all those discussions. You got your employee comfortable. I have to make a change. Now a judge says, hang on. Maybe you don't have to do that. I got to look at this further. So now that, like you said, it's uncomfortable because you can't go back. You can't unwind it and go back to the salary because you had all these discussions, but you could. So now at that point, that $42,000 salary person could go back to being salary, but that uncomfortable conversation may come up again. Interim, we have a new president, in theory, that will be coming on, in January that could overturn the whole thing. So it goes back to, Bill, we always try to plan on what we know.
Yeah.
And right now, all I know is the rule was there, and now it's not. And what are the chances of it being in place? What do you think, Teresa? 50-50?
50-50.
So it's a flip of the coin. So if an employer wants to go out there and have the conversation again and say, you know what, we're going to start over on this. A judge said, I don't have to do this rule anymore. If you want to go back to salary, let's go back to salary. Some people are going to do that, I'm guessing. Right, Teresa?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because a lot of people actually did have that conversation with their employees and backed into that number saying, I'm going to keep you at this rate and mocked up employment agreements that said, okay, your salary is based off of this many hours, at regular time, this many hours of overtime to get to this salary.
Right.
So a lot of people were staying at that. So I think a lot of people are going to probably go back to or stick with the salary. But this was, as Joel said, this was the main reason why so many states and so many businesses brought this to the court case, because it's dictating how they as an employer are supposed to pay their people, because we could be doing the exact same services, but because this person's making this amount, they get the they're exempt and don't have to pay overtime, whereas this person, now I'm going to have to pay them overtime.
And there's a long list, Bill, of things that make you exempt. And I don't know, Tracy, do you have any ones you could throw out there right now off the cuff? Back to the rules of salary versus not salary about managing people.
The biggest thing is they call it the three main ones: executive, administrative, or professional. The professional one is if you have had to go to additional schooling, such as a CPA, such as an engineer, an architect, you fall underneath that exemption just because of the knowledge that you have to have. Administrative is where you were dealing with the management of the business, and helping do the actual business. And then there's a couple other things with that one where you have to meet that. And the executive one is where you manage like a department and you have to manage at least two people.
I see.
And if you do all those, then you are considered exempt.
As long as you're being paid this minimum salary.
I see. Wait, so what was it before? What was it before the minimum salary? Was it, because you said it went up quite a bit, right?
It was previously $23,660.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to let's transition this thing over time, but to almost double it. No business can move that fast, you know, and make that change and or redesign how they operate, you know, to what's best for them. So again, regulation has been the theme as of late, and it's somewhat disappointing. Certainly gives us maybe some job security, but I just do not have that job security. I think there's other things I could be doing.
Right.
But again, that's what we're here for. And unfortunately, if you're an employer who hasn't heard about this, I guess you're safe right now because of the injunction. I know Teresa did a bunch of chamber meetings, both in Litchfield and Wilmer, talking about this because it got to be a real hot topic because I think employers, with all this regulation, are more nervous than ever as far as doing the wrong thing and being out of compliance and exposing themselves either to an employee situation where if you get a disgruntled employee, do they come back at you and cite this particular provision and sue or whatever in our litigious society? The employers are very nervous. The healthcare was another thing. And do I need a group plan? Do I not? How do I help my employees? But I can't afford it. Regulation bill is out of control right now. And I know that was a big platform for President-elect Trump. We got to reduce this. And I would agree. I hate to say it. I'm not saying I'm all about Trump, but I think that's one thing that he was probably right on the money. As a business owner, the regulations is getting too much.
Yeah, and it's one thing if there's a need for it. You know, if there's been a real abusive, behavior by some industries or whatever, maybe they do need to be reined in a little bit. A lot of consumers are maybe being ripped off. I can see it. But, I mean, otherwise, like you say, just, we still have the, what is it called again, the right to work or whatever it's called, laws, where if you don't like something, you do have the option of quitting. your job, I guess.
Teresa, was that the reason why President Obama did this executive order? Did he feel there was abuse?
He feels there's abuse. He feels that there's a slice of the society who they're working 70, 80 hours a week, and their salary, when you take that divided by, their salary divided by those 80 hours, they're making less than minimum wage.
Yeah.
And so, the viewpoint is that he wanted this to be one of the last things that he did, which is why he did it by an executive order.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, the theory is that it's temporary, so they either have to do a permanent injunction, which is through the court case, or if the Department of Labor doesn't appeal the case, then it can be.
Any thinking on, say, the judge does turn it down? I suppose he has no real urgency either to even rule on this. I mean,
I don't think so. And back to the Trump, coming
in. Kind of waits till maybe the
I don't know if there's a big reason, because they're probably expecting the executive order to get overturned too.
Yeah. Correct.
I wish I had a crystal ball, because I'd tell you I'd be doing a lot of different things right now, Bill, if I had one. But you just don't know. And as CPAs, we're conservative, of course, but we also always try to plan on things I know. And on this deal, I don't know a lot that we do know other than what the rules would have been. And if you've already implemented them, we are saying, is there a reason to change? Hopefully it didn't cost them a lot of money. Hopefully they did their math and factored it and backed it in, whatever. But back to the abuse, I got to believe some of these employees had union opportunities, didn't they, Teresa? I mean, the union is there to protect these employees who might have been getting carved or getting abused, you would think. So to me, our democratic society has the checks and balances in place to some degree for abuse. But I guess if it's there, maybe he should have, instead of doubling it, maybe upped it by $5,000 or, made it a transition, then it might be palatable and people could take time to look at it more closely as far as the judge and all that. But again, I don't know what President Trump's going to do when he gets in, if he will. Just his list of executive orders is quite long. He thinks he's going to overturn. So we'll see exactly what happens. And I wish we had a crystal ball right now to go through it. But I don't know, Teresa, if you have any other thoughts on where you think the future is going to go?
Some of the reading that I've been doing on this subject now with the injunction is there is some concern from the business perspective that because the federal judge questioned the validity of it, is that it's going to be proposed within Congress now to put it through as law to either get rid of that minimum or to, you know, have a more defined or have a better defined reason for how this increase was developed.
Percentage-wise, any idea as to how many employees are hourly as opposed to salaried in the country? Any thought at all what it might be?
I'll be honest, I don't know that at this point. You know, I didn't see that number, so.
I bet you it's at least half, wouldn't you say, if you're going to venture a guess, or more?
I would think so.
I would think
probably
so.
Even maybe more than half.
Probably
or
more
so.
Than
yeah.
half. You know, I would say. No, I don't have that stat either. Yeah. That would have been a good stat to have.
But it does affect an awful lot of people, though. I mean, I would think.
No, it does, you know, yeah. on the employee side and the employer mm-hmm. side. You know, shockingly, I mean, it affected our firm. We had some people that were right in that bubble back to compensation levels, so we had to talk that through. What should we do? Mm-hmm. Make a change? Should we not? You know, good. You know, congratulations, now employee, you're on salary. And they're like, what happened? What's the deal? Mm-hmm. And you have to walk through that and explain and figure out the math and do all that. So it's it created some... It was pretty strenuous there for a while, Teresa, in your department, wasn't it, there for a while?
Yeah, because we had, I mean, several people were just asking, how do I, you know, what's the best way for me to implement this so it's not such a financial impact, but yet I don't upset an employee. And as Joel said, you know, CPAs are conservative, and, you know, the biggest risk from a small business perspective most likely wasn't the audit, you know, coming through from the Department of Labor. It was from an employee who's hearing about this in the media. Right. And then they go, hey, I don't think I do those duties, or I think I should be getting paid overtime. And all it takes is that one employee to go to the Department of Labor and say, I don't think I'm being paid right, opens up the audit at that point. And it's not just that person. It's all employees get looked at that point.
And how far back can they go even then into your records? I mean,
3 years.
3 years.
And so then you could do back. You would have to do back pay, which and also is back payroll taxes and penalties.
Wow.
And
yeah. That's what made everybody so nervous, Bill. Mm-hmm. They're like, man, I got to know what's going on right now. Teresa, help me. I don't know what's going on. And they went to the chamber meetings and, like, waving the white flag. Like, am I in tough shape here? Have I done something wrong? And everybody felt bad. And no one really had done anything wrong. But when you get regulation like that, you feel like you are. You assume, God, I must have done something wrong. So it was one of those rules, again, that I was not. Or executive orders I was not real thrilled with as an employer, but, you know, so it is. And we live in a country where we don't have a lot of say in some of that stuff. And he hopes someone that's smarter and broader thinking than we are going to do the right thing. And sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And hopefully in our country we can get it overturned too. But
well, it's certainly, yeah. it created quite a lot of, I'm sure, not like you say, concern, and kind of like the waters of the U.S. and these buffer laws, I'm sure, for the farmers. You know, an added burden, you know, basically, even though you think you are being a good steward and so forth. And
yeah, you think you're doing the right thing, and next thing you know, another law changes, and you got to rethink it and redo it and do all that.
Well, anything else you want to add before we wrap it up, Teresa or Joel?
No, Bill, I just want to see how you're doing on your Christmas list.
Okay, well, I've started.
Yeah, yeah. He sent your letter off to Santa? Does he know?
He doesn't know.
He doesn't even know what you want, huh? I just assume. My kids are the same. They assume that Santa can read minds, so I don't know. How are you coming along, Teresa?
I'm pretty slow.
Pretty slow.
Well, now that we've got snow and the cold, it'll get us in the mood to get out there and
hopefully in the mood,
and get that shopping done.
To get that online shopping done. That's my goal.
Yeah, so Happy New Year to you, Bill.
And yeah, thank you.
Happy holidays to all the listeners out there. Appreciate the following. And again, if you have any questions on the Department of Labor rules, tax planning right now is hot as well. So if you are wondering if you've got a tax problem and if you think you know, post-Obama, you know, pre-Trump era is going to suddenly change your taxes, which, again, we don't know. A lot of speculation. You know, give us a call, 235-5937, and we'll hook you up and do what we got to do.
And a variety of services available through Christensen and Associates.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on trying to be a one-stop shop and look for solutions through our knowledge, experience, and vision. And you mentioned Christensen and Associates. We got time, Bill. I just got a half a plug here.
Yep.
The firm, we just went through a name change. Mm-hmm. And now we're We're just Christensen PLLP. Where our new logo is Christensen CPAs and Consultants. We did that. One, we needed to freshen up our logo and hadn't changed our, you know, we changed our colors and all that. So our flagship now is basically Christensen, and we chose that. We wanted a nice, you know, solid name that the community is familiar with us. And I'll be honest, saying Christensen and Associates is a mouthful. Mm-hmm. So the firm is identical to we've always been. If you guys start seeing our logo and it just says Christensen, don't think that there is a new merger or anything that's changed. Our world-class service is still there. Our devotion to our clients is still there. And we're just kind of stepping forward into a new light, into a new world of, you know, focusing on customer service and looking at Christensen as just being that one name you always remember when you think about quality service in the CPA world and different things. So I just wanted to give that plug real quick.
That's a good thing to mention. So
yeah.
All right. Nice to meet you, Teresa.
Thanks for all your
work on this issue. And Joel, good to see you again. And the Falcons are off to a good start in boys basketball.
Yeah,
I see.
3-0. Yeah, did they win in Osakis?
They lost that one. So
They're pretty tough, though.
Yeah,
right?
They are. Yeah, yeah, they are undefeated. I think Osakis.
Yeah, they had beat Litchfield, I think. So mm-hmm. Was it a close game?
Yeah, like 2 points or something.
It was
very close. Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Yeah. I can't keep up on all that stuff, Bill. my son had graduated, so I'm not quite as following the team quite as close. But when there's a home game, we try to get over there. So
right.
So good. All right.
All right. Well, you guys have a great Christmas and a happy new year. And then you'll be back in January, right?
That's the plan, Bill, if you'll have me.
Okay. Well, we would certainly do that.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye-bye now. That is our Ask the Expert for today. We've got markets coming up next from the LFN.
Your snow problem is no